Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. If you want to understand what makes Key West what it is, you have to look into its history and the influence of the Jewish community. Going back almost 200 years, Jews have shaped the island city time and time again. They helped rebuild the island after a massive fire in the 1880s and then after three powerful hurricanes in the early part of the 20th century. They also played an important role during the Cuban Revolution. All of these stories are part of the book, The Jews of Key West, Smugglers, Cigar Makers, and Revolutionaries by Arlo Haskell. This is the February book for the Sundial Book Club. You can find out more on our Facebook page. It's free to join. We welcome everybody. And joining us now from the Southernmost Bureau, the studios of Key West, Mr. Haskell, it's such a pleasure.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be on the air with you, Lewis. Thanks for having me.
Let me just start with this. How did you get the chance to write this book? Where did the inspiration, the idea come from?
Well, the book sort of came to me about 8 years ago. I sat down for lunch with a woman named Susie Savage, who had gathered oral histories and family documents from a number of local Jewish families. She had thought that she would write a history of the Jewish community here at one point, and then had decided it was a project that she wanted to find somebody else for. So it all started there with that lunch meeting. As I looked over some of the photographs she had found, and listened to some of the summaries of the stories she had learned, and I thought, wow, there's some really interesting stories here that are different than the Key West I knew, and I wanted, immediately to dive down into this particular vein of Key West history and find a side of Key West that hadn't been written about before.
And before you started working on this book, what did you know about the history of the Jewish community in Key West?
I knew bits and pieces. I was friends with David Wolkowski, who passed away this year at age 99, and his grandfather, Abram Wolkowski, came to Key West after the Great Fire of 1886, arrived here as a peddler with, pennies to his name, and within a decade or so had become quite successful. His son was very successful after him, and then David was sort of the third generation of that. So I was familiar with the family story of David Wolkowski, and I knew this story of I think what's kind of a classic immigrant rags-to-riches success story, and a particularly classic Jewish story of the Polish or Russian Jew who arrives as a peddler and works their way up to success. So that was really the extent of what I knew at the time, was through his family story.
There were, I didn't realize this, you had three major natural events and then three man-made, moments that really shaped the island. And let's start with the hurricanes. You had the hurricane 1909, 1910, another one in 1919. Mm-hmm. What impact did these storms have on the island? And then really the aftermath, because there was the rebuilding phase, and that's when you started to see different groups of Jewish people coming into the city and helping rebuild it.
Yeah, and I think each of those storms had its own different impact. The 1909, 1910 hurricanes, the devastation was compounded by there being, two of them, roughly a year to the day, back to back. Everybody in South Florida knows what it's like to get hit hard by one storm, and maybe when that date rolls around on the calendar next year, you remember how bad it was, and you are glad that a year has gone by. Except in this case, a year after the 1909 storm came, the 1910 storm came. So it was a real 1-2 punch that knocked Key West on its heels. And then Key West, was bouncing back to some degree. Another 10 years went by. 1919, when that storm came, it was another kind of a 1-2 punch. World War I had recently ended. The Volstead Act, which put, which made prohibition the law of the land, had just gone into place. Key West had been a big Navy town, so the end of World War I had removed a lot of the population. The Navy money that had been here supporting shops and businesses of all kinds. There were a lot of bar businesses in Key West then as now. So prohibition made people's livelihoods, you know, illegal at that point in time. And then you had this hurricane of 1919 that came in. So it was the 1919 hurricane was really like the finishing blow for what would have been a very difficult economic period, even without the natural disaster. And as I say in the book, you know, most people think of the 20s as the roaring 20s. The depression began in 1929. But in Key West, the depression really began then in 1919 at the dawn of the 20s. And the decade of the 20s was, you know, hard times here.
And another big event, too, was the Cuban Revolution. And it was important in Key West because revolutionary and poet José Martí spent a lot of time in Key West trying to recruit support, especially from the Jewish community. Why?
Yeah, that's right. And that was one of the most fascinating pieces of the research for me was the, you know, Cuban revolutionary activities during the 1890s when Martí was here rallying support for his cause. Key West was really, I think, second to New York in terms of the economic might of the exile base that was here. It was a hugely important exile center for Martí and his you know, followers that were going to eventually did overthrow the Spanish and secure an independent Cuba. Martí's call was really for equality, was for democracy, was for an egalitarian system and way of life. And he made explicit appeals to Jews in Key West and beyond. And he also spoke to his Cuban followers. He used the idea of you know, the historic idea of Jews and the culture around Judaism to say, on the one hand, to his fellow Cubans, if we don't fight off the Spanish, we're going to end up as bad as the Jews. We're going to be as persecuted as Jews have been, you know, for centuries since ancient times. So that was, on the one hand, a rallying cry to the Cuban audience that he was speaking to. But he also made it clear that Cuba, a free Cuba, was going to be for anyone. You didn't have to be Cuban by birth. It was for anybody who believed in these ideals of liberty and equality.
And Jews and Cubans actually had, they had a shared enemy, Spain.
Absolutely. You know, Spain, under the Inquisition, of course, you know, Spain had terrorized Jews for centuries. And that was, you know, the Inquisition officially lasted in the Americas until like the 1830s or 1840s or something like that. Somebody, one of your listeners will know this better than I do. But so for some of the Jews who were in Key West in the latter half of the 19th century, the Inquisition was still, you know, part of living memory for the elders of the community. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a way to strike back at Spain. In fact, one of the main Jewish leaders of the Cuban Revolutionary Movement here, Louis Fine, he said that he had participated with Martí, you know, out of a sense of vengeance against Spain.
We're talking with author Arlo Haskell. His book is The Jews of Key West, Smugglers, Cigar Makers, and Revolutionaries, the February title for the Sundial Book Club. You can learn more about it on our Facebook page. Arlo right now is joining us from the studios in Key West. One of our book club members, Delilah Rubio from Miami, posted on Facebook, I'm Cuban, not Jewish, but I'm interested in reading about the Jewish revolutionaries. Also, by the way, if you find us on the Facebook page, I posted a little trivia there for you guys, which was likely the first Jewish-owned bar in Key West. Arlo will answer that question here coming up, but it's also on the Facebook page in case if you think you know it is because you've been reading the book. You know, one of the other interesting things I didn't realize is, I mean, so, you know, Key West was just a great place for Jews to come down, start businesses, raise families, and then, of course, a very good relationship with Cubans for a while. But then after World War II, after World War I, I believe it was, then the U.S. government started to put limitations on immigrants, and they put a lot of limitations on Jews and Chinese immigrants. And then Cuba became a refuge for many of the Jews. Tell us about what that relationship was like around that time and how Jews were still trying to get into the U.S. with these tough immigration laws.
Sure, yeah. So the immigration laws that affected Jews most strongly were passed shortly after that 1919, you know, hurricane that we were talking about. This is part of the hard times era of Key West. You know, the economy is kind of in tatters. There's been storm damage. And then a new president is elected and the immigration acts are passed in 1921 and 1924. And effectively, they just dramatically reduced the number of Jews who were allowed into the United States. I think it reduced the total by about 90%. And it wasn't so much that Cuba opened their arms to Jews as it was there was a loophole in the law that allowed Jews who had established residency in the hemisphere, once they had established residency, then they could come into the United States without regard to the quota system. And Cuba, at the time, it was relatively easy to establish residency. So a lot of Jews who had been looking to come to the United States made the determination that instead they could go to Cuba, wait there effectively for a year, gain their residency, and then come the quick 90 miles to Key West from there. So it became what seemed like a logical jumping off point. Until the U.S. United States government closed that loophole, and all of these tens of thousands of Jews that had come to Cuba really only as a stepping stone to the United States found that they were stranded there. They were refugees or refugee camps built along the harbor. At that point, they needed to find a way out.
And there's such a fascinating history, too, about how then smugglers started to, you know, we see it today when people smuggling humans into the U.S. It was going on as they were trying to smuggle Jews from Cuba into Key West. Real quickly to finish up here, what conversations have you had with Jewish leaders in Key West about the book and the legacy of Jews on the island?
I have a lot of conversations. I think people are grateful that this history is visible. It had disappeared. You know, not only was it not a part of the real written legacy of Key West, but it had disappeared from local oral history to a large degree because the community was so splintered by the anti-immigration, you know, hysteria of the 1920s and 1930s. I think a lot of stories about what was, illegal or undesirable behavior were not told very often in families. And so they had, you know, they had remained quiet. So it's something that's new for people within the community. There's a lot of gratitude that it's out there.
I have 40 plus years living in Florida, so much I didn't know, and really fascinating. Living in South Florida, by the way. Let me get you to answer the trivia question, which was likely the first Jewish-owned bar in Key West.
Gosh, when you asked that trivia question, I wasn't sure I could remember it. But I think, was it the Last Chance Saloon?
The Last Chance Saloon on Front Street,
good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't blow my own trivia question.
Arlo Haskell, again, his book is The Jews of Key West, Smugglers, Cigar Makers, and Revolutionaries, the February title for the Sundial Book Club. Learn more about it on our Facebook page. Ask to join. It's free. We'd love to have you. It is a fascinating book. Again, history that, for so many of us who've lived here in South Florida, we do. I think, as you said, Arlo, you think of Key West a certain way. There's a history that really this book opened up. Is really, really fascinating. I really appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much, Lewis. Really appreciate you getting the word out to your audience.
Fantastic. And again, find us on Facebook, our Sundial Book Club. Ask to join. Check out the book. Let us know what you think as you've been reading it. All right, still to come, a new play in Boca Raton explores the issues of Me Too and the Jewish faith. It's coming up next on Sundial.